What's up, guys, and welcome back to the Pickleball Connection podcast. I'm your host, Danae.
And I'm Barrett.
And we're super stoked to be hanging out with you guys today. Today, we're going to be doing an episode that we like to call Cruise the News or CTN, and this is kind of where we peruse all the latest pickleball news, gossip, juicy stuff, all the things, and we give you the lowdown on what's happening in pickleball. So, without further ado, let's get into it.
All right, let's get into it.
This is the moment we waited for. Everything you want is right here. We gonna give them what they came for. We gonna take it up from last year. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Watch the game change, yeah.
Today, guys, our first kind of subject or topic that we're going to go over, we're going to try to link this in the description, but you can go look on the Kitchen's Facebook page if you want to see. There's a video of what I'm about to talk about. There's an article. There's a lot of comments. You might have already heard about it, but we're going to talk about it anyways. And I'm titling this section, The Worst Call in Pickleball History? So basically, as you guys know, as many of you know, there's the Beer City Open is hosting Major League Pickleball right now, which Major League Pickleball is the team format of pickleball. There is a challenger level and a premier level. And basically this happened in a challenger match, I think it was 2 days ago. And what happened here was basically they had to move the matches inside because of weather. We've seen this happen on the PPA Tour before. They try to make last minute adjustments and they switch the venue, which they're trying to do the best they can. But when this happens, guys, they don't have the same camera setup and technology that they have outside. Mm-hmm. So in this particular game, the Florida Smash, we're playing the California Black Bears. And in the game, it's 17-17. So it's tied. Okay, this is the fourth game of the series. If you're not familiar with how the series works, basically there is a men's doubles game, a women's doubles game, and then there's two mixed games. So that's a total of four games. If the series is tied 2-2 at the end of those four games, they play what's called a dream breaker, meaning they alternate singles points to see who wins. So the Florida Smash are up 2-1. Okay, it's game four. It's tied 17-17. Basically, Yates Johnson, who's a player for the Florida Smash, gets a big juicy put away, sets up the point nice, and he hits the ball. It lands a, probably a foot and a half in bounds. And a player from the California Black Bears immediately calls it out. If you watch this match, Yates and his partner, Tammy Emmerich, they turn around and they walk back because they're, you know, they don't even see that she called it out because it was so clearly
because they assumed it was they had the point.
I mean, even the announcers are like, Yates Johnson just finds the back corner. Like, everybody thought it was in,
saw it in.
So unfortunately, you know how pickleball works. You call your own lines, and this is something that I believe has to change in order for the sport to be legitimized. Ways sports get legitimized in a lot of ways is gambling allowed, you know? And if gambling is ever going to be allowed, if you're ever able to bet on pickleball, you know, in a full scale, we've got to fix this line call issue because this has been an issue for a long time. Players can't call their own lines. We have to start relying on the refs and the technology. So basically, back to the scenario here. Sorry, that was my little side rant. She calls this ball out. Everybody on court goes nuts. Okay. She looks at her partner, and her partner, like, it kind of looks like he thought that the ball was in, but he's kind of not saying anything.
Team Black Bear.
Yeah, Team Black Bears, Rafa Hewitt. And so, yeah, Michelle Esquivel is the one that that made this call. So basically, they appeal to the ref, and the ref basically says, like, I didn't see it. I was looking at another spot on the court.
Looking, I'm assuming, at the kitchen line, because that is their primary job.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think that this ref was actually supposed to look, was supposed to watch the lines, but
that's bad.
The ref had thought that there was potentially a fault, and so they were looking elsewhere.
Got it.
Anyways, regardless, the ref basically says it's in because I can't call it out. I didn't see it out. So they get the point. So you got to realize, legitimately, this is rally scoring. And so when this happens, it is a point. It's not just a side out.
And the ball swings.
And the ball goes to their side. So it's now 18-17. Okay, mm-hmm. So fast forward, the California Black Bears go on to win this game 27-25. So it went into overtime. They won by two, and they forced a dream breaker.
Yeah.
I'm watching this in live time, and I'm all of a sudden rooting for the Florida Smash hard because I'm like, I would hate to see the California Black Bears win when such an atrocious call was made.
Right.
And the issue is here is that they didn't have the ability to challenge because they didn't have the technology.
So it's not even like it was their fault they couldn't challenge. They would have challenged it.
They would have challenged. Even one of the announcers was like, they're going to probably challenge that. And then they remembered they don't have the technology. So I think the Major League Pickleball, needs to get to a spot where they're able to, if they're going to move the venue, they have to also move the ability to challenge, whether they have to move the equipment or get the right people in place. It was just pretty crazy to see. And so California goes on to win in the Dream Breaker. And you're just like, you could see at the end of the match, like the players kind of deflated, like they didn't want to.
I mean, it wasn't fair.
They didn't want to they all clapped each other's hands. But like the player that made the call, like they walked right past her, didn't like clap hands at the end or shake hands. So anyways, Travis Rettenmeier, a pro, was very vocal about it.
Who's on the floor smash.
On the floor smash. A lot of other players, you saw these people posting the actual video where you could see the ball, and it was all over the internet. It's on the kitchen. You can go look at it. But here's what I want to ask you. My issue with this is not that somebody missed a call. If you watch the video again, Michelle Esquivel, it almost looks like she's whipping her head around to look to see if the ball's in. And it's almost like she doesn't actually see the ball until it's like...
until it's out, maybe.
It's traveled out. It's already bounced in. So I think, I think she didn't see it properly and she just made a quick call. But my issue is that nobody else on the team, her partner, all of the people on the sidelines had the integrity to say, hey, no, that ball was actually in.
Yeah.
They all acted like they didn't see it. I understand they're trying to win, but you would hope that people would have the integrity enough to actually say, hey, no, your partner can overrule you.
Yeah.
That is a rule. Your partner can overrule your call. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. What do you think about this? Do you think that where's the biggest issue here? Is it line calls? No one overturned it? Is it the technology?
This is a bummer all around because I really believe it is very hard to make your own line calls. I would hope that everybody does the best they can, but you have to remember, the payout too for this event.
Yeah, they're getting paid.
Is it $100,000 or something?
I can't remember what the challenger
is. I don't know what it is for challenger, but this is the
mid-season tournament.
The team that wins this will get a lot of money. Like every player will get a lot of money. And so there's money on the line. Like it's just such a bummer because that, whether you say it does or not, I think it sways how you do your line calls.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. I haven't talked to her about it. I will not probably ever talk to her about it, but let's say she just missed it.
Yeah.
Let's say she just legitimately thought it was out because she didn't get her head around in time. Well, you would hope that the people that she could appeal to in that moment, you would actually say, hey, I didn't see it.
Yeah.
But instead of actually making a definitive call, and I think that's the issue.
That's the issue.
It's like if you don't see it clearly, then defer to somebody or it's in.
Exactly. And that's maybe what's so hard is I'm like, do I think that she had a malintent? Like, no, I mean, I don't know her. I'm what I would assume she wouldn't do that on purpose. But like, also, if you're not 100% sure, you shouldn't call it. Also, I do know some people are 100% sure and then they get it wrong. But then that's where it comes into play. Like, we need the technology.
And I think the reason that this, you know, there's so much buzz around this particular instance is because it's not like the ball was on the line or even near the line.
Yeah, right.
It was like a foot inside the blue.
That's pretty bad.
And so in that, I understand how you miss a call if the ball's like on the line, because some of the balls like legitimately look close. The angle that you see it at, it can be different. And I'm sure I've legitimately thought a ball was in, but somebody at a different angle saw it out, and I've probably made bad calls. But when the ball is a foot inside the blue,
yeah, it's hard.
It just raises a bunch of eyebrows, and unfortunately, they were able to advance and they were able to win the game. And I'm not saying that, you know, they couldn't have come back and won, but if you watch the rest of that game, it completely swung the momentum. People were really amped, and you know, there's a lot of trash talk right afterwards. I mean, it just changed the whole dynamic of the game.
I think it's hard because I want to blame, if I had to blame anybody, I'd be like, dude, MLP, like I know that you guys are trying to move to a different venue and make things move fast, but like you guys need replay available.
Yeah. And I think that if you're not going to have the ability to challenge, you need to have
a lot of refs,
competent refs that are watching every line.
Who only has like one job to watch this line, you know, like you just need that. It's too much responsibility on a player. Like, to me as a player, like it is a lot, you know. And it's crazy that you bring this up because there was another video posted on, I want to say it was also the Kitchen, of a 5-0 women's match in PPA, same kind of thing. The ball was very, very in. It was called out and it was a gold medal match. And I'm like, that just stinks. And like I said, I don't think it's necessarily the player's fault, but it's like it should not be on the players to have to play and call their own lines.
Yeah, this has to be figured out. Like, my question is, I wonder, like, if in this instance, if this would have happened again. Obviously, I was watching this on YouTube in live time. Mm-hmm. So I know that they didn't have the ability to challenge, but how easy would it have been to take a timeout, get all four players and grab someone's phone, rewind the YouTube live stream. You can clearly see it in.
Yeah.
And if there's still dispute after you do that, then the call stands, you know? But if it's clearly in, because I'm sure if that would have happened, they would have been like, yeah, I can't refute that.
Right.
So I'm like, there's probably other ways.
Nor would they
ways.
Want to, I think, at that point. If they like actually were like, oh, I thought that was in, wow, or I thought that was out, wow, it's actually very in, like, my bad, you know?
And I'm like, would the call have even been made if there was challenges, if there was actual?
Yeah,
like,
that's
I don't,
a good question.
I don't know. So regardless, like, we're wanting to legitimize the sport of pickleball. We're wanting it to be taken seriously. And this has been a theme in 2024. Mm-hmm. Line calls have to get fixed, you know, and we got to hope that pickleball players in general, before line calls are fixed, in the meantime, we got to play with some freaking integrity.
Yeah. You know? And err on the side, like, if you don't 100% see it out, don't call it out.
Like, I remember there was a match I played one time as kind of a similar situation, I guess, maybe, that she was in. I swung my head around. I did my best to make the call, but my head was kind of moving at the same time the ball was clearing the court. And I called the ball out, and my opponent looked at me and said, hey, man, no, that was clearly in, which they did in this scenario as well. And I'm like, okay, I have to give you the benefit of the doubt. I know it's my call because it's on my side, but if you are so confident that you saw it in, I'm like, okay, I take it, you know?
Well, and honestly, too, I think to like help your teammates out. You know, there's so many times where, you know, one person says like, oh, get that out, and the other person can help them be like, you know, and actually, no, that was like on the line.
I think you're right. I think we need more of that. We need more of your partner if you see your partner make a bad call, you have to step up and say, hey, I'm sorry, man. Like, that was actually, I actually saw that in.
Yeah. Like, I just think all around, that's just human to human. That's just integrity.
Yeah. But guys, let us know in the comments, did you see this happen in live time? And, and have you had this happen? People hooking calls that are clearly in a match like a tournament or something where the there's more at stake. And what would you do to fix this issue? What do you think needs to happen for Major League Pickleball to be legitimized and for this line call issue to go away? Let us know in the comments.
Yeah. I mean, that's just, it's crazy to think about.
Yeah, for sure. But let's hop to the next one, you think?
Yeah, let's hop to the next one. I actually think you're on this one too, yeah?
Oh yeah, I am going to read this one. Okay, so the next one, this I'm curious to see what you have to say about this one, which, by the way, guys, if you haven't watched our last episode, we low-key kind of got in a fight.
We got in our first podcast fight, so you guys should watch it.
It was, it wasn't like a fight fight. It was like we disagreed clearly, and this woman was ruthless. She kept pushing me. So you're telling me, and I'm like, yes.
It was spicy. Go watch it.
I think
it.
She wanted me to be a little bit more definitive because I was kind of like on the fence, but I was still disagreeing. But if I could go back, I would hold my ground. Anyways, go watch it. okay. So, I'm interested to see what you're going to say about this one. This comes from Reddit. Gotta love Reddit. This was posted 4 days ago, got tons of engagement. So this is what it says here. Okay. So, basically this guy says, I'm a 5-0 player. Oh, he's actually said, he says 5-0 plus.
Oh, wow.
So he added the plus in there. So this guy's legit.
Okay.
I'm a 5-0 plus player constantly trying to get people into pickle.
Love it.
I got one of my stubborn friends to finally show up and play. We all have those. I promised him that I would stick with him the whole time, introduce him to people, and generally provide some like light teaching to introduce him to the game. So we show up, queue up to open play. There's about 20 people at this location. I love the details here. He said all the people were varying. This made me laugh. He said all the people were varying from about a 2.5 to a 3.3, I'd say. Just like,
wow.
I guess 2. Very
5, 3.3. Okay.
Very specific.
Good
so,
to know.
So very low level, I think is what he's trying to say.
Yeah.
He said, I play extremely relaxed. I try to let my partner have the balls and then softly put the balls away when it's the right opportunity.
So he's trying to play nice.
That's what he's saying. Yeah. He said, we played like 2 to 3 matches, won them all. And then we get people trying to split us up to make matches more fair. I didn't know any of these players, and I was trying to explain to them I'm just hanging out with my buddy and teaching him the game. But two individuals aggressively, although I'll say most politely, basically forced us to split up. All of this is because these players didn't want to lose over and over. Nothing about my play. I didn't slam a ball. They just got tired of losing. Mm. All right. Stay with me. Fast forward a week. We go to another location. Same type of setup. Now it's 3-0 to 3-3-ish players. So maybe slightly better.
This guy should do duper assessments I guess. For a living.
And then he said maybe a stray 3.5 or so. doing the exact same thing. He's hitting balls softly, keeping balls alive. Two 3.3-ish ladies are going over to my partner afterwards. They're trying to target my partner. They played hard. They tried to win. One of these ladies getting visibly woke that we pulled up ahead 10-7 or so. She actually started walking off the court.
Oh.
Basically made a scene. Okay. So let's break this down.
Okay.
What do you think? Like,
okay. You're asking me my thoughts.
Let's break this down. So, I mean, yeah, this guy shows up with his friend.
Yep.
People start complaining because they're
winning.
In his mind, they're losing a lot. So they're complaining they want to win. It has nothing to do with his play. Even though he's 5.0 plus, he's trying to teach his buddy. What do you think about being out at rec play, having people come over to you to try to split you up so that it's more fair? Thoughts?
Okay. People might disagree with me on this, but That's annoying to me. Like,
which part?
That people are trying to split them up. And here's the deal. Like, I know that some courts have their little system, okay, where you go and there is like, okay, you have a challenge court. If you go to the challenge court, you can only win two times. And then if you win two times, then you have to kick off, or then winner split. And like, some courts have like a predetermined, this is what they always do. So that I'm kind of putting it to a side. I'm assuming that's not what's happening at this place. I'm assuming this place is people show up and it's just open play. There's no system. That's what I'm assuming.
Yeah. All we know is that there's 20 people there. So people were probably waiting.
People were probably waiting. So my question is it winners stay on and that's why they were mad?
It had to have been probably. I think they were probably winners stay on and they kept getting to play. They kept beating people. What this guy says is that it had nothing to do with his play, though. It's like they just wanted the matches to be more fair and they kept winning. So obviously you should try to split up. So maybe you won't be able to win as easily. I don't know.
So that's the caveat, right? Is I'm like, okay, if winners stay and people are mad that like you and your partner keep winning, that's hard. But I'm like, does everyone have to split when they win? You know, like,
yeah. And he said that they only won like two or three matches before this started happening. So I think it's a bit ridiculous.
Yeah. What do you think?
I think it's a bit ridiculous, but I'm like, dude, the amount of characters that are out there at rec play, people have opinions. I know you've told me some stories that you just drilling with a buddy.
Oh, I know.
Having, you know, court monitor Kathy come over.
Yeah. She's not like me.
Yeah. She's upset because you're, you know, there's people waiting, you're trying to drill, or
but there's other people drilling on other courts.
Yeah. She just kind of trying to assert her dominance. And I think you said, all right, well, come play us. You know,
I know. I challenged her to play us and she didn't want to play me.
So anyways, I think there are just people out there that, I don't know, we got to realize sometimes people are just having a bad day sometimes.
Yeah. And here's what I will say, you know, this is why level specific play is kind of nice, you know, and it's nice when there's like dedicated beginner nights and it's nice when there's intermediate, but it is hard, especially if you're wanting to get your friends and you're like, well, we're going to go to the beginner, but then now you and your friend can't play together because people are trying to split you guys up. Like, you know, so I don't know. I think at the end of the day, it's really important to realize people are honestly probably at the end of the day just wanting to enjoy the sport of pickleball. So like if this guy's out with his friend and they're enjoying the sport of pickleball, goal accomplished, you know?
Yeah. I think, I don't know why this made me think of this, but we had a conversation one day about like, what if in the future there was like a tower and it was like,
oh my God,
there's like different levels.
Can't believe you're saying this.
I think this is cool, but this could be like futuristic. But well, there's like a tower with different levels of courts, right? And there's an elevator and you have a key card that's directly attached to your rating, you know, like your duper rating or whatever the rating system is at that time. And like you can try to scan your key card and get up to the higher levels, but you can only get to certain levels depending on what your rating is. Now everyone like knows that there ain't going to be, unless people are switching out key cards, there ain't going to be people trying to come onto their court that are like,
better hope your rating's good.
Higher rate. I don't know. Anyways, all I'm saying is, I know that's a funny thought, but I don't know that there's really a way.
There's not a way to
Not a way to like fix this. Like there are always going to be people that are better than other people.
Yeah.
And there's going to be people that want to show up and bring their friends and, you know, I don't know. I know that people have tried to split us up before, you know?
Yeah, I think people have for sure.
Like we win some games and they're like, all right, you two. Like, I think it depends. Yeah, it probably happens more at lower level type play nights because, you know, if you're winning and you're doing really well at like an advanced night, people want to play you. They want to challenge you. Yeah. It's like the opposite.
Right.
It's interesting.
Yeah, it's super interesting.
But guys, let us know, what do you think? Has this ever happened to you out on the courts? Have you ever been asked to split up? Or, I mean, tell us if you're the person that's trying to split somebody up, no shame. Just tell
yeah,
us.
Tell us why.
I'm curious, like, why? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we'd love to hear what you guys think in the comments.
Yep. All right. Should we go to the next one?
Let's go to the next one.
We need to tell you about a must-have for anyone in the pickleball world. If you're an avid pickleball player and don't have this app downloaded on your phone, you're missing out on so much. Meet the Selkirk TV app, the first and only free streaming and on-demand app dedicated to everything pickleball. Whether you're a player, a fan, or just curious about the sport, Selkirk TV is your one-stop shop for all things pickleball, like lessons, courses, podcasts, and more. Imagine improving your game with the pros or catching the latest pickleball buzz before anyone else. If you're already watching this episode on this app right now, thank you. But if not, what are you doing? Download the Selkirk TV app now. It's a must-have for anyone who loves pickleball.
So for our last topic, I thought this was really interesting. This is somebody who just started playing pickleball. So this is like somebody fresh. If you remember when you just started playing pickleball, like bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, new to the sport, this is this person. And they're kind of giving their their observations on what they love about pickleball and what they don't. So they say, quick background, 23-year-old male, former collegiate athlete, no racket sport experience. I started playing randomly and I love it. It's been a big learning curve, but I wanted to share some thoughts and questions I had about the sport below. So first he's going to go through just three things that he loves about pickleball. Okay. So the first three things he said, this person brand new to pickleball, what he loves, the inclusive culture. Since day one, I've played pickleball. People have been so welcoming and willing to share knowledge. This has not only allowed me to keep playing with a positive outlook, but changed the way I approach others in pickleball as well as other aspects of life. Second thing he loves, diverse players. It's so refreshing to play against people differing in so many walks of life. Never in my life would I think I'd be competing as hard as I can against two 60-year-old men. Third thing that he loves, humbleness. I know it's a rite of passage of being absolutely humbled by some old timers. I'm all for it. I love coming to play and not being able to tell if somebody is good by the eye test. Coming from more traditional sports, this has been a wake-up call. So first, I want to get your kind of thoughts, opinions on those three things that this person loves.
Yeah, I think I can agree with the diversity. I think, you know, I think when we first started playing together, there were, you know, people that were a lot older than us.
It was mostly older, yeah.
And it put us, this is probably like 2019, right? So mm-hmm. It put us around people that we wouldn't have normally been around. I also love it that you can be on the court and you could have a CEO of a company next to a janitor. And they're on the same team and they're competing. They both get off work and they have wildly different lives. These two probably wouldn't cross paths. And it puts you in front of people that you would normally not be able to have the privilege of meeting. And I think that that's partially due to obviously the reason the sport, I think, has grown so much is because there's such a small barrier to entry. There is a learning curve, but a lot of people can put a paddle in their hands and go out and find success and early on, and they keep coming back. And so I think that's what I would say that I agree with the most. One of the things I love is that just the melting pot of ages, demographics, you know, different types of people. And I think pickleball is such an amazing sport for that reason.
Yeah. That's definitely one of my favorite things about pickleball for me has been, I'm friends and I became friends with people I don't think I'd ever see in any other area of my life. And what's really special is, you know, these people intergenerationally, we're in totally different generations. I'm like, man, like if I called them, they would be there for me in a minute. Like they just have become such great friends. And it's been one of my favorite things about pickleball is definitely the diversity, the very inclusive culture, like this person was saying. You know, people really were, if I remember correctly, just so welcoming when I came in. I had no idea what I was doing. I couldn't come from a racket sport, and I had so many people help. And do you remember our first coach, John?
Oh, I love Coach John.
He was this older, maybe in his 70s.
He wore what was the outfit he wore?
He had the hat with the flaps
and like a beehive out. Like no. He kind of looked like one of those beekeepers. You know, he had long sleeves. Hat. He was protecting his precious old skin from the sun. But I remember one of the things John told me. I remember it to this day. First off, he told us to go to the dollar store and buy a notebook. And he said, you want to write down what happens in all your matches. And it's going to be your pickleball notebook.
Yeah.
I don't think we ever did that. But we did show up with him to drill with him at like 7 a.m. And he, this is like right when we first started playing, he whooped up on us.
Yeah, he was good.
But one of the things John told me, I'll never forget it. He said, you know, one of the first things they teach you is to keep your eye on the ball. And one of the first things you forget is to keep your eye on the ball.
Dude, he was the best.
I was like, that's good. It's so true. But people lift their head up. They don't watch the ball hit the paddle, you know?
But it was crazy because I was like, man, like he doesn't even like know us super well, but he's so willing to like literally wake up early, go meet us at the courts and like teach us how to hit a drop shot. Like it was just
cones out and stuff.
Yeah, it was so nice. And I was like,
he prayed with us after. Remember,
I know.
He prayed for us.
He blessed us.
He's like, can I bless you? I'm like, sure.
Literally, he was, and I'll never forget him. He was one of the kindest, nicest people. And, you know, the thing is, John, there was a lot of Johns for me in pickleball. And so, you know, that's just, I totally agree with what this person said. So I would love to know what you guys think about these three things that this person said they loved about pickleball. And if you feel like you've experienced that, or if you have a coach John or someone like that. Now, it doesn't end here, though. They also talked about things they didn't like about pickleball. Again, being 3 months in, super fresh. So these are the three things that they don't love about pickleball. First one, duper.
Classic.
I still can't wrap my head around this duper thing. I hear people all the time mention being a 4-0, a 5-5, and I think it's hilarious. I get that people are using ratings for competitive play, but some people enjoy their rating rather than playing the sport itself.
That's funny. Yeah, I do actually think it's hilarious. There are some people that just love to rating drop. Like they kind of slip their rating into a conversation. It's funny.
Dude, yeah, it's funny that he said this because I was like, dude, people do get kind of married to their rating.
I think we need a good rating system in the sport to legitimize it, but they're doing their best, and I think that they're, you know, it's getting better and better, and I think hats off to them, but I think it's funny to hear people that are little rating obsessed.
Yeah, and it's not the rating's fault. It's the type of people, right? Like, it's a person for, like, flaunting it around. It's just kind of funny. Okay, so that's one thing. The second thing, this one made me laugh. This person said, the pickleball hate. I don't really get all the hate that pickleball gets. People mainly on only social media will post thousands of comments just hating on pickleball.
It's true.
And I'm not sure if they're tennis players or what, but it's very interesting.
It is true. Dude. Guys, we manage and help run and create some content for playpickleball.com. If you need a good resource for like beginner to intermediate videos, there's a video that comes out every Wednesday. So go subscribe to the playpickleball.com YouTube channel. But what's funny is managing this, we get to see some of the comments that come in. And we have like a couple videos. There's like an OG video that was posted 9 years ago. One of the first videos out there we didn't make before. It was before, obviously, we came on. It's like how to play pickleball, and there's one on like what is pickleball, learn about pickleball, and some of the first videos out there on the internet. And so they have millions of views, and it is still to this day, these were like 9-10 years ago, they get people posting, this isn't a real sport, it's just like tennis but worse, this is for unathletic people. Like people go in still, like daily there are comments. If you want some like comedic relief for your day, go look at the comments of like these how to play pickleball videos, because people go off, they bag the sport. And a lot of people, it's actually, I think it's hilarious. I know exactly what this guy's talking about.
And it's crazy because I think this is such a thing. People love to hate on pickleball.
People like, love to hate on people, on everything.
It's crazy. You know, I also do some social media and pickleball, all things pickleball. Go check it out. But the comments I get are hysterical. People are like, my 3-year-old could do this and go pro. And I'm like,
you've obviously never played.
I'm like, please send me your 3-year-old. I promise I'd dominate them. Like, it's just like crazy what people say, but people love to hate on pickleball and I don't get why.
I know exactly what this guy means. It's interesting.
I think it's very much a true thing.
I think 99% of them have never played.
Oh, I can promise you they've never played. And it makes me sad because I'm like, man, if you tried it, you would get it.
It makes me like really proud of people like the guy that I read in our previous segment on this show, the guy that's like out there trying to recruit his friends. Those are the opposite people,
yeah.
The diehards. I'm trying to go convert all of these people that don't believe in the sport yet to come play. Those are my people. These people, I'm like, dude, you've never played before.
You never play. I agree. It's definitely a thing.
What was the next one? Hate.
All right. This is the last one.
Yeah.
Last one that this guy says, paddles. He says, you can argue with me, but I truly believe having a better paddle allows for your game to improve tremendously. I upgraded from a $20 paddle to a $150 paddle, and it was like night and day. So let me ask you this. Do you believe that having a more expensive high-end paddle makes a difference in your
100%.
Game? 100%. I didn't even finish asking the question you answered.
I would say that you rewind the sport 5 years ago, the difference between a cheap paddle and an expensive paddle wasn't as much. But today, there are galaxies in between a wooden paddle and a high-end Selkirk paddle. No, I'm just kidding.
1,000%, though.
But yeah, a high-end, you know, fill in the blank, you know, whatever company you choose to play with. There are hundreds of paddles, hundreds of companies out there. A lot of them make really good products. Some of them, we're a little bit biased. We love playing with Selkirk paddles. But yeah, I think in today's game, technology's gotten to the point where the paddle that you play with does make a difference.
Yeah, I agree. I know that there are people out there that will say, you know, oh, like the paddle doesn't matter. The paddle doesn't matter. I promise you guys, the paddle matters. And no, do I think it's everything? No. Do I think that, you know, if you buy the most expensive paddle that you are going to be the best player? No. But I do think that it will help your game to play with a nicer paddle.
Also, I think that there is a learning curve. I think this is one of my pet peeves. I think people pick up a new paddle that feels different, and immediately if they don't hit 3 perfect drops in a row with it, they're like, I hate this paddle. But I think that paddles do take a little getting used to. But if you try out some top-end paddles and you commit to, you know, playing with them for a couple of days at least, get a handful of games and time with them on the court, I think that's when you really start seeing like, okay, this paddle really does make a difference. And I do think that, you know, I'm interested to see, you know, I know that there's a lot of really cool stuff coming out. I know Selkirk's coming out with a lot of really cool stuff, and other companies, there's a lot of cutting edge technology that's going to be coming, and it's going to even get better. A lot of the conversation recently has been like, we want technology of paddles to increase, but we also don't want it to compromise the integrity of the sport. So that's kind of where paddle development has gotten. A lot of people think, you know, the technology is creating such an unfair advantage that, you know, we have to put a cap on what is allowed, and there has to be clear regulations. But there's a lot of cool technology on the way. Got to play with a paddle the other day that is coming out by Selkirk that's not on the market yet, that felt really good. It's got a new, let's just say, we'll call it a new form of, it's not carbon fiber, but it's like carbon fiber, and maybe a little better, more durable. It's a different surface. But yeah, there's a lot of really cool stuff coming out. And I think that the issue is that, you know, it's the opposite of what this, you know, this guy's saying, like, does it matter? Or, you know, he said it does matter.
Yeah. He said it matters.
So he's so right. And I think it only is going to matter more and more. But 5 years ago, maybe not as much.
Yeah. Nope. That's all I got.
That's all you got. Well, guys, let us know in the comments if you have any questions that you want us to answer on the next show. We'd love to include a kind of a Q&A segment. I know we've answered a handful of your questions already. If you haven't yet liked and subscribe, like and subscribe to Selkirk TV. You can also find this podcast, The Pickleball Connection, on Spotify and other streaming platforms. So be sure to go give it a like and give it a share. Guys, thanks so much for tuning in, and we will catch you on the next one.